Bless me. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 211, stanzas 2 and 3. O God, from thee the waters fled, the depths were moved with mighty dread. The swelling clouds their torrents poured, and o'er the earth the tempest roared. Mid lightnings flash and thunder sound, great trembling shook the solid ground. 2 and 3 of Psalter 211.
Thank you. portion to be read out of God's holy word this afternoon is from the book of Revelation, thereof chapter 6. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Revelations 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Almighty, most majestic, all-knowing, all-powerful, eternal, gracious, but also just God, We are thy creatures here upon thy footstool, and we are taught by thee to pray to thee, but we have no heart for it until thou givest us a need, oh, that thou may bind the need of the souls upon each and every one of us. For there are so many needs we see in an outward way, and even the rain that needs to be poured out upon the earth, Lord, remember us. For we are such dependent creatures that we cannot stand, and we cannot exist for one moment outside of thy providence, that thou wouldest uphold us and preserve us in our being, and give what is necessary to continue each and every day. Lord, we are undeserving of the least of all thy notice and thy attention, and that thou wouldest bless us with blessings from the skies. But we cannot do without thee, O Lord, and thou hast promised so long ago that seed time and harvest and summer and winter and cold and heat shall not cease, O Lord, that thou may fulfill it in thy mercy, and that thou may look upon us also in thy mercy, that we may be provided for by thee, we and our dear children, that we may continue to exist and to live upon this earth, that we may have food and drink sufficient to be clothed and sheltered, that we may be enabled to educate our children, and that we may be enabled also to give something unto the poor, but that we may be kept from that excess which is sinful, for thou knowest all the miserable and sinful and wretched tendencies of our hearts. For we are ever seekers for the glory and the ease of this world, wherein there is nothing to be found but that which disappoints. We beseech thee, O Lord, to correct us, but not in thine anger, lest thou bring us to nothing, and that thou would make us seekers of thee, for in thee alone is all of our happiness to be found, that we may come to know thee, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, that thou may become precious unto each and every one of us, and that we would not be able to live without thy favor, without thy communion, and without the forgiveness of all of our iniquities, that we may be brought, O Lord, upon our knees, in our secret chambers, and that we may cry to thee, the true and the living God, and with those blessed and holy and spirit-wrought desires, and that we may be brought back into thy blessed favor and communion, and that thou wouldest speak unto our soul, and that thou wouldest say to our soul, I am thy salvation, that we may receive the blessed comforts and that belong unto thy true people in a world that is so filled with anxieties and with fears and with miseries. Oh, that thou may give to us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand. And when in these days we may commemorate the pouring forth of thy Holy Spirit, when thou didst come, even in the person of thy Spirit, to fill this whole world therewith, that many may be brought in, that thy kingdom may come, and that the forces of hell may be put away. Oh, that thou wouldest deliver us, O Lord, from him who has brought that death into the world, that we may be kept also from dying that eternal death, Oh, give to us in our life, both young and old, to receive that heart that would seek and that would flee from all the things that are perishing. Oh, give us a need within. Bless thy word to the children and to our youth, that they in the days of their youth may have the love of thee poured out in their young souls. For the enemy doth try to fill them with everything that promises happiness in this world. But he is nothing but the father of lies and full of deceit and hypocrisy. And in the end, then he will only disappoint. Oh, to show both young and old together the blessedness of thy service, that we may have those desires that thy servant did express in thy holy word, when he may come up unto the house of God, and that he might see the beauty of the Lord, and that he may behold him in his temple. Lord, that thou wouldst draw us then, for then we will run after thee. So thou didst unto thy bride, also when she was sleeping upon that bed. Thou didst put in thy hand at the hole of the door, and thou didst leave a little myrrh upon the handles of the lock. O, look on thy children, Lord, for thou knowest each one where they are, and what they stand in need of so often, for we are so slothful, and we are so often clinging to everything that is earthly and passing away. But then it is experienced even in the life of thy church that it is all a disappointment, and that thou may then draw, and that thy children may rise up again, and that they may go after thee in the streets, saying, didst thou see my beloved? Oh, if thou find him, tell him that I am sick of love. Look thou upon the daughters of Jerusalem. Look thou upon the children, the young men, those whom thou dost bring into the kingdom of grace. Lord, thou knowest all that lives in their hearts. Thou knowest the desires and the longings. Thou knowest the love. Thou knowest the zeal. But thou knowest also a lack of knowledge of self and of thee. Oh, that thou may lead them, and that thou may instruct them, and that thou may draw them more and more away from that old and broken covenant, and that thou mayst give a breaking forth in the midst of thy church, that there may be gladness upon the blessed views of thee revealed by thy Holy Spirit in the lives of those who are utterly destitute, those who cannot live, those who cannot die as they have been born, those who come up time and again with empty nets, those that have no feet to go, and those that have no hands to take. Lord, that thou may look upon them, and that thou may show and reveal by thy Spirit that blessed and new covenant, that new and that living way, wherein they may receive everything out of a free and sovereign grace. Oh, there is so much rest then, and there is so much peace then, and there is so much rejoicing then, in the name of him in whom thou art so well pleased. Lord, remember us all together, those who have become old. Thou knowest the need also, Lord. Then often it is said, the older the colder, and so it is experienced, except that thou wilt come, O Lord, for thou art able to make us even as a little child. Oh, thou art able to make the old knees to bend, and thou art able to bow at that hardened heart, and thou art able to make a man to see his sin, and to weep therefore, and to bring to thy blessed footstool, and to beg, O Lord, be merciful to me and the sinner, and this old sinner, and this gray-headed sinner. But then there is nothing anymore to be sought for in this life. Remember, even at the end of life, remember in all the circumstances of life, and when there are difficulties, when there are troubles, and families between husbands and wives, Lord, wilt thou thyself give healing, and wilt thou supply as thou alone art able to do, who hast reconciled the holy and the righteous God with sinful, guilty, and polluted sinners, and who does bring them together in such a blessed relation, and who does call unto her, even my sister, my spouse, my love, my dove, and my undefiled. And Lord, thou art able, even then in this life, that it is a little thing with thee, to bring together what does belong together, that thou may remember in thy mercy all that suffer from addictions, all those that are abused, those that have losses and crosses. Wilt thou bring to thy footstool, and to show that thou art alive, and to give to experience something of thy pity and thy compassion, even unto those who do not deserve it, and that as unworthy ones we may be brought to seek for the blessing for our souls. Remember thou our denomination. Lord, thou knowest our needs. Remember the candidate for the holy ministry. And thou hast made all things well. And wilt thou give him now a place of thy choosing in the midst of our denomination, that thou may make it clear unto him where that he is called by thee to go, that thou may bind his heart unto a flock, that he may there be a shepherd, and that thou thyself may bless him, and that thou may remember us as a denomination. And when our school is now closed, Lord, then it is always a disappointment for us, and then we can only look to thee in the dearth, that thou may give rain and showers from above, and that thou would yet gladden us in thy day, in thy time, and with thy deeds, and that we may magnify thee for all thy ways which are so mysterious unto us. Do remember all those that bring thy word over the length and breadth of this whole world, and when thy spirit is not yet taken away from this world, and when thou dost still gather thy church, oh, that thou mayst send it far and near, and that thou may not forget us either, who have been given it for so many years. Thy holy word of truth that is preserved by the means of our forefathers. So many great privileges, but then we have become so accustomed to them. Oh Lord, wilt thou wake us up from our deep sleep? Wilt thou awaken us from our sleep of death, and that thou may show to us our need, and that thou may give to us to see that the time is short, and that the day hasteneth away, and that the night cometh, and that we might learn to hasten for our life's sake, while the time is an everlasting, a rolling stream, bears all its sons away. Oh, give us earnestness in our hearts. Come, Lord, with thy spirit to young and old, and deal not with us according to our many sins, but look upon us in him in whom thou art so well pleased, who has finished all the work, and we can add nothing to it. It is all done. Lord, we ask then for thy Spirit, and to apply it unto each and every one of us, for the first or by renewal, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 260, stanzas 1 through 6. Jehovah reigns, let earth be glad, and all the isles their joy make known. With clouds and darkness he is clad, on truth and justice rests his throne. 1 through 6 of Psalter 260. Beloved congregation, the day of Pentecost, the time of Pentecost, was a very special time. It was really the beginning of a new time, that is the New Testament time, when there was a very great change in the administration of that kingdom of God. The disciples, the apostles, they were now sent into all the world. The time had come that neither in this mountain, that is Mount Gerizim, nor in Jerusalem would men worship the Father, but that they will worship him in spirit and in truth. The disciples, they are sent forth, those fearful, those backward, those fleeing disciples are filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And they are sent forth and go forth with that Spirit of the Lord as a lion, with courage and with great boldness. And we see that Spirit of the Lord goes with them with its great power. 3,000 brought in on the day of Pentecost. And we read very soon after also of 5,000 as multitudes are conquered and by that bow of him and that does sit upon that white horse and that gospel and that has gone forth into the world ever since. It still goes out even unto this day conquering and to conquer. To bring in a great multitude, an innumerable multitude, the Lord said to Abraham, as the stars in heaven, for multitude are we also one of that multitude that has been struck by that arrow and that has been brought low and been made a militant in his church. What do we think about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do we think about the salvation of a poor sinner? Is that dear to your heart? Is that precious to you? And if not, why is it not? Our hearts that are not so easily conquered. Our hearts are hearts which cleave unto the world. They are not simply hearts that are ready to be reformed as men will have it today. No, they are hearts that need to be overpowered by the Lord. We are trying to retain our paradise as we think it to be here below. That's what is necessary. What is necessary to break? I'll ask you that, young people, but not only our young people, all of us. What is now necessary to break the bond of love that is between our heart and this world? And all that is perishing, what is necessary that bond may be broken, that we may be united in love unto the Lord and unto his dear Son, because no man can serve two masters. And then it is not possible that a woman will have two husbands. No, then she may only have one husband. There were three horses that followed upon this white horse. And all those horses together have one goal. They have one purpose. And what is it? Oh, that is to bring in the church of God. That is to carry out the decree. That which is written in that book, that is that it may be taking place now upon the world. that the Lord may establish his kingdom, that the Lord may take away from the world the power over the world. We read later that the kingdoms of this world might be the kingdoms of our Lord. And so those horses are going out. That gospel horse, we would say, that white horse that is going first. And the others, they are coming in the rear, they are coming behind. What are they? They are now helpers. They are helpers to do what they are all sent to do. And then it will either be to humble or it will be to destroy. Either it will be to save or it will be to harden. Either it will be to draw them or it will be to crush them. What will it be unto us? Our text with the Lord's help in this afternoon can be found in the portion read to you, Revelation 6, and thereof verses 3 through 8. 3 through 8 of Revelation 6. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword and with hunger and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. So far, the words of our text, the opening of the second, third, and fourth seals. First, a red horse. Second, a black horse. And third, a pale horse. The opening of the second, third, and fourth seals. A red horse, a black horse, and a pale horse. And there went out another horse that was red. The second seal is opened. Red, that is the color of shed blood. It speaks here clearly, congregation, about war. We read, power was given to take peace from the earth. Peace, that is a precious thing. What do we think about peace? Do we believe that peace is precious? Does that show in our life that peace is precious? And the Lord says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." What is peace? Peace is actually the state or the condition of our social relations, how that we get along with one another. Do we live in peace? Do you live in peace with your family? With your brothers and sisters, boys and girls, with your neighbors, congregation? Or do we live in conflict, and do we seek conflict? Because Solomon says that that conflict, that the beginning of strife, is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before that it be meddled with. The Apostle Paul says that we are called unto peace, and still the earth is filled with hatred. It is filled with envy. It is filled with strife, warfare, creatures of God killing other creatures of God, each of them made in his own image. Where did that begin? That began, boys and girls, with Cain. And when he killed his brother Abel, you know that. And why did he kill him? Well, because he was envious. And why was he envious? Because Abel received something from the Lord that he did not receive. And that is the favor of the Lord. And thus it began a spiritual warfare all the way in the beginning. And that is now the way that it continues. All that warfare that is upon the earth, that continues to be a spiritual warfare. There is a cause that is at the root. There is a cause and that is at the bottom, and that has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to do with his kingdom, and that has to do with his people. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Thus that horse and that rider were sent. They did not go on their own accord, but they were sent, we read here, from heaven. And they are sent especially from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is now administering that kingdom. And that is simply the decree of the Father. And they are sent to specifically do this one thing, and that is to take peace from the earth. The Lord Jesus, when he was on the earth, said, Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I am not come to send peace, he said, but a sword. For I am come to set at variance a man with his father, and a daughter with her mother, and the daughter with her daughter-in-law with her mother-in-law, and that a man's enemies shall be they of his own household. That is a spiritual strife that is coming upon that gospel. Especially, we read that here in the New Testament, in the Revelation, that red horse that is following this white horse, and that he is going out whithersoever that he goes, and that they should kill one another. That slaying is a consequence of the rejection of him that sitteth on that white horse. Thus, when the world will reject that gospel that the Lord will send among it, then they do it to their own peril. Because after that white horse is sent out from the Lord, this red horse, and the Lord is going to set the enemies of the Lord against one another. We can hear that already when we read in God's word about Gideon. Right, boys and girls? Gideon, you know that they were just 300 men, right? And they did not actually have to fight, did they? No. Why not? Who fought? Who killed the enemy? Well, we read that the Lord set the enemy against each other, thus that they slew one another with their swords. And when they slew one another, they all fell down together, and that was the deliverance itself of that host of Gideon, the people of Israel. And now here we read that the Lord says that he is going to cause the enemies of the Lord, his enemies, to destroy themselves. He is going to take away the peace from the earth. He is going to cause them to hate one another, and he is going to cause them to destroy one another. How will he do that? He does not need to put that in their heart. He does not need to put that in our hearts. All he needs to do is take away something which we do not deserve. And what is that? That is restraint. Because there is every hatred and murder living in our hearts, and it is only his common grace that keeps us from slaying one another. And the Lord, he says with that red horse, that he is going to remove that common grace, and he is going to allow now that people who are rejecting him, his enemies, now to destroy each other. Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be wars. There shall be rumors of wars. These, he says, are the beginnings of sorrows. And we can try to prevent that, and don't say that that is not a good thing. We can have a United Nations, and we can speak to one another to try to prevent war, but actually it is futile. It is futile because it is so much deeper. It is lying in that warfare between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And that is not something that all the heads of state in this world are able to sit down and to solve. The Lord will deliver his church from their enemies. But in the meantime, that church is not going to be fully exempted themselves from the effects of this red horse. And why not? Well, because it is a spiritual warfare. We know already from Genesis 3, thou shalt and he shall bruise thy heel, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That is, that Satan will bruise the heel of Christ. He will not break his head, but he will have some kind of power that is against him, but that is including also his own church. And so the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, they shall persecute you. And now all we have to do is go further in the book of Acts after the day of Pentecost. And then we can see something so beautiful. We can see how that white horse that has gone forth in the midst of all those nations of the world. But then we see that following that red, that white horse was this red horse. And we can see how that the persecutions began immediately. Nor did they just cease with the apostles themselves. When you think about what happened to Stephen and to James and eventually to the other apostles, and we think about all of the great Roman persecutions, and then it doesn't stop there in the history of the church. When we think about the Roman Catholic Inquisition, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. And has that now ceased? No. Because in so many places in the world, we may be at this moment spared, but we do not know what is coming. But that is happening still in so many places in the midst of this world. And we see all around us how that turmoil, Satan is stirring it up, and that the enmity is becoming more and more outward and open against the truth of God and against those who love and serve him. that red horse. You say, how is that now a helper? Ah, that red horse is going to destroy. That is in the first place. That red horse is going to destroy those to set at variance with one another, the enemies of the Lord. But there is something else, because we know the history, and even in all those persecutions we can see, we say that the blood of the martyrs was the seed of the church, because that has spread that word throughout the world. And it has also spread it into the hearts of the heathen when they have seen the steadfastness of that faith that the Lord had planted in that people. When they may observe the stability, the sincerity, and that lived in the heart of that people. Then there were those who desired to join themselves unto them, even though that they were despised and that they were, as it were rooted out from all the nations of the world. His kingdom, the Lord Jesus says, is not of this world. And it is difficult to see how that is an aid. And yet, it is so very true. Our eyes are looking so often just at the things that are here below. The second seal. And when he had opened the second seal, then I heard that second beast say, come and see. That was the calf, that was the ox, that was the picture, the symbol of patience, of submission, so necessary in that time of great persecution, that steadfastness, and to go on and on, whatever did come against it. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. A pair of balances, a measure of wheat. And that is for a penny. That is a great amount, they say, maybe between 8 and 20 times the amount that a measure of wheat would have cost. Thus, what is it speaking about? It is speaking about scarcity, about want. And that is why it is a black horse. Black, that is what we can read in the Bible, that is a symbol of mourning, of weeping. Thus, famine and want and lack and missing and decaying, and the beauty that is all going away. There is crying, there is weeping. Oh, what are they? They are further judgments. That black horse, judgments upon a people that do reject that white horse. Then comes that black horse upon that people for whom that preaching of the word, that spreading of the word by the Spirit of the Lord through the world, and that is not taking hold in the hearts of that people. And then there are two things that can happen as a result of that black horse. And it is possible that because of that black horse, that people, because of the grief and the sorrow, and that they begin to bow. Sometimes the Lord takes away the prosperity of a people here below in this world. Sometimes the Lord gives lack. Sometimes the Lord gives want. Sometimes it is necessary that the Lord send a black horse, that the Lord takes away from us when that preaching has no place in our heart, and when the Lord would be merciful unto us, and when we are going on and on in the midst of this world, and then sometimes the Lord is sending that black horse. Then he is taking away the desire of our eyes. Then he is taking away our husband. Or he is taking away our wife. Or he is taking away our children. Or he is taking away our business. He is taking away our career. Oh, then there is grief, worldly grief. There are earthly sorrows here below. Does it convert us? No. It doesn't convert us. Because we can read of all the sorrows that are in the midst of this world. And we have enmity in our heart. Sometimes you see it, congregation. Oh, that a person, he suffers the greatest griefs in this world. And that there is such an awful tragedy. And then you see later, oh, then there is a leaving of the house of the Lord. And there is a forsaking of that truth. And then you say, how can that be? That a person has gone through so much in this life. That there is so much grief and such a tragedy. But that is now our heart. All of those things are not able to conquer our heart. And yet sometimes the Lord is using them. Sometimes it pleases the Lord to take away our earthly paradise that we are trying to build here in the midst of this world. And that the Lord makes us to sit. And that the Lord makes us to consider. And that the Lord draws our heart, a heart that is sorrowful in this world, to feel the vanity, to feel the emptiness. And then in our sorrow, to bow our knees and to seek that living God. Sometimes the Lord does that even in a spiritual way with his children. We can read that. That the Lord says, I will go and I will return unto my place, my people, until they will acknowledge their offense and seek my face. Or in their affliction, they will seek me early. Oh, that black horse. Does the Lord send sometimes a black horse also in your life? And now if there is no turning, If that does not help us, what is that black horse going to turn into? That is going to turn into a great judgment. And it is not speaking here about violence. We read already about the war. We already read about that bloodshed. But here it is different. The Lord is making a man to pine away. The Lord is making a man to feel the emptiness. And he is taking away the rain from the skies. He will judge him. He will judge him to make him lose all the supports of life. And that is what that black horse does. And not only in a natural and outward way, but also in an inward way. That a man is looking and looking for what can fulfill his soul in the midst of this world. We read about it all the time. We read of those who are taking their own life. And why? Oh, it is an awful despair. Because then a person is looking and looking. And they look on this thing. And they look in the midst of their neighbors. And they cannot find it. Or it is futile. And why? Well, because that white horse. And that bow. Or that white horse. And that gospel. That has provided everything. But that is now rejected. And there is no other place. And that this true happiness can be found. Do you understand that, young people? Just read our catechism. And when he opened that third seal, I heard that third beast say, come and see. What was it? He had the face of a man. And how is that now different from all the other beasts? That is that man has intellect. That man has reason. That is not true of the rest. And now you think about all those sorrows. And now what is necessary in those sorrows. Oh, the Lord, as it were, reasons through his servants. He reasons with that people. He says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Do you not feel your need? Do you not feel your want? Do you not feel your lack? Is it now not reasonable? Is it not reasonable, perfectly reasonable, that you would turn again unto that maker whom you had left? And unto the provider of the whole world, not only for the needs of the body, but also for the needs of your soul. Come and let us reason together. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They shall be white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, O congregation, come, he says, and let us return unto the Lord. Why? Well, because he has torn, and he will bind us up. He has smitten. He will heal us. Let us sing. 240:2-5. Thou hast brought me down to darkness. Neath thy wrath I am oppressed. All the billows of affliction overwhelm my soul distress. 2:5, 240. red horse, a black horse. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse that is greenish. The word is, or we would say a pale yellow, that is the color of death. And indeed, we read his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. That is the word Hades. Sometimes that means the grave, and sometimes that means actually hell. Thus, in a natural way, the grave will follow death, but in a spiritual way, then hell follows death. What is it? It is actually the end that we read here. Of what? Power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Thus, we heard already about the sword, and we heard already about hunger, and now he adds two more, that is death and the beasts of the earth. Well, you say war. Well, we have heard of the sword already. What does he mean? That does he mean now the same thing? Because we read about the sword, that is of course a violent death, and then we read about famine that will also lead to death. And now he speaks about other deaths, as it were. And what now is following the war and following famine? Famine often follows the war. And then following famine comes so often pestilence. Pestilence and plagues and diseases. They have the ability to slay multitudes at one time. We are witnesses of that. How many that are lying now in the grave because of that pestilence. That has a purpose. Pestilence in our time is following something. It is following that white horse. It is following the sending forth of that word of God, the gospel. And it is directing men. It is directing men either to that gospel, or it is slaying men for the despising of that gospel. But Christ's kingdom is spiritual. Thus, there is nothing that is slaying more persons than the pestilential plagues of errors, of hypocrisy, of deceit, of turning what is healthy, that is the truth, into disease among men. And we can see how that pale horse has followed that white horse through the history of this world in a very special way in the beginning, but as time goes on, it did not cease, especially when we think about the errors in the first centuries that had to be fought and by the apostles and those that followed them. And we think about the anti-Christian Rome. Oh, how many thousands of millions are being slain also in our day by the pestilential errors. They are great judgments upon the world. And to kill with death and with the beasts of the earth. Paul says, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. That is those who came against that truth, who came against that true doctrine. The Christians are always liars, evil beasts, he says. Or you cannot reason, Paul says, with a beast. He acts out of other motives. He acts out of hatred. He acts out of envy. It is the spirit of the devil himself. 2 hours that multitude has cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Then the friends of Paul, the disciples, said, "Do not go into that temple because you are going to be slain and by these evil beasts." Power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and the beasts of the earth. So what do we read in the end? That last horse, that pale horse, there is a combination. There is a multiplication. And thus there is an escalation of the judgments against the wicked. Beasts, the sword, pestilence, famine. We don't read them first in the book of Revelation, no. We can go to other parts in the Bible. There we see how that in the book of Leviticus, we see in the book of Ezekiel, the Lord is speaking about these exact same 4 judgments. Thus, what else may there be? And thus, it is speaking about how that the Lord is using all the means, all the earthly means that he has here. It is, as it were, a culmination. The Lord has so many things at his disposal, and he is going to use them all to bring his kingdom to pass. Here they are all joined together, and they are pictured as bringing men into very, very great straits. Oh, the world is filled with sorrows. The world is filled with war. The world is filled with hate. The world is filled with turmoil. The world that is filled with error. And through all this, the Lord is doing, he is accomplishing his own purpose. Those horses with their riders are given power over the fourth part of the earth. Thus, a great part of the earth. But not all of them. In other words, the Lord says there is a limitation that is at this point. It is not yet the time of the end. No, he is speaking here about the church of God which is being gathered. Thus those stubborn wills of that elect people of the Lord are softened. They are softened by those sorrows. They are humbled under the persecutions. Oh, they are making that people look up as into the heavens, where that eagle that is soaring far above the earth, that gospel arrow that is piercing the heart of his elect. And at the same time, oh, the rebellious reprobate. They are being hardened. They are being hardened under the judgments. Hardened under the errors. That they may go on and on in their way. And being hardened under the punishments that have already begun. And all of this is now in the hand of him who has taken that book out of the hand of him and that sitteth upon the throne. All the commands are going out, and he is sending out these riders. They go forth specifically upon his command. There is nothing upon the earth that is taking place outside of the decree of the Father and outside of the command of the Son. All the ills that are seen and experienced in this world have one purpose. They have one single end. There is nothing that takes place by chance. There is nothing that is contingent, dependent upon other things that take place. The world does not know this. No, the world raises its fist in rebellion against God. But Paul says, we know. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But the church cannot always see it. Jacob said, all these things are against me. He could not see it when he was in the midst of the strife. He could not see it when he was in the midst of that warfare. But it was actually all for him. Oh, how mysterious are the ways of the Lord. His way is in the sea. His path is in the great waters. His footsteps are not known. But it is all written in the book, and it is all held in the hand of him who was given that book, and that may open the seven seals thereof. Can we understand it all? Do we know all of the mysteries? Oh, we do not. A congregation, one thing we need. We need to be his. Because if we may be his, oh, then we know that it shall be well. Because that power is given unto him, all power in heaven and in earth. And thus now we ask about that red horse and that black horse and that pale horse and that white horse. Because we have asked you in the beginning of this hour, what do you think about the salvation of a poor sinner? What do you think about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Is that now dear to your heart? Is that now precious unto you? And why not? Why not? And what is now necessary in order to make it precious unto you? Where have all the disappointments and all the conflicts and all the sorrows, where have they brought you in your life? Have they humbled us? Have they softened our heart? That there may be a breaking in of that gospel, that there may be a need, that there may be a cry, that that arrow may pierce our heart. Oh, that red horse, that black horse, and that pale horse, there is not a life. There is not a man, a boy, a girl, a family, wherein those horses are not coming. Wherein they are not coming, when that white horse is going forth also in the midst of us, because we can speak about the whole world, but what now is it for our own soul? When that white horse is going forth, and when that other horses are now working in your life, everyone different, one in the hospital, one a disappointment there, one a sorrow here, another a tragedy. But what is now the operation? What does it now bring forth for us? Because if it does not work for good, if it does not soften us, if it does not make place in us for that holy word of God, then it is indeed going to be for our destruction. Solemn thought. Oh, most solemn thought. That wicked Pharaoh, 10 plagues, 10 times over again, did not help. It did not help. Nothing helped. And finally he had to be destroyed. In that Red Sea, it became Hades. It became his grave. It became hell itself. 10 warnings. And now that Manasseh, that Manasseh, he was also a wicked man. Was he different from Pharaoh? Oh, how many awful, awful things are not written of that man. And now the Lord comes, and he brings him in that prison. And there that man is broken. There that man bends his knees. And because of his affliction, he is softened, that hard heart. And he is brought to cry. He is brought to pray. O congregation, do we hear the callings of the Lord? Will we listen? Every pain, boys and girls, every pain that we feel in our body, every sickness, every sorrow that is now accompanying the Word of God when it is coming forth from this place. Your father is reading the Bible, and he may say a few words to you, and your mother, and your teachers. And now along with all this, then there are afflictions, and there are trials, and there are sorrows. And the Lord, he will use it all. And it will be either for good, or it will be for our destruction. Do you know what they speak about? They speak about our sin, to give us ears to hear him who does speak about the salvation of a sinner. Do you know what the Lord said to Judah? He says, I smote you with blasting. I smote you with mildew in all of your labors, and ye turned not unto me. What could I have done more, the Lord says, in my vineyard that I have not done unto it? What could the Lord have done more unto us that he has not done unto us? The Lord says, I have piped unto you and you have not danced. I have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we can't bring it in our heart, and every affliction and sorrow will only harden us, except that thou would have mercy on us. O, wilt thou send us all home to our inner chamber, that we may beg of thee, and that that arrow may enter our heart, and that it may not be a lost work that thou dost bestow on us and upon our children, all the multitude of callings, day by day and year by year, and some for so many years together. Lord, how dead, how rebellious, how evil our will is. Oh, convert us. Become too strong for us. That horse is a mighty animal. Lord, be thou mighty unto us to conquer us against our evil will, and make us a willing people in the day of thy power, and make thy dear son to be so lovely and precious unto a guilty and unto a polluted and unto a corrupt people. Remember us in this day. Give us to love thy day. Give us to keep thy day holy, and that we may keep it unto thee. in all righteousness, that we may desire to read and that we may profit from what we may read concerning thy holy word. And wilt thou help each one of us in the week that lies before us to remember thy servant who hopes to preach his farewell service. Lord, look upon him. Thou knowest all the labors that he has put forth in his life in thy own service. And then how difficult from our own side when it is time that we have to lay it down. Oh, remember him in thy mercy. Spare him yet for his family and congregation in our denomination, that he may yet do a little work. Give him yet some rest from all the labors thy favor and blessing experienced in his heart and soul, that he may yet be a monument, a testimony amongst us. Remember all that travel and all the labors of our hands. Bless them undeservedly for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 293, all three stanzas. Rebels who had dared to show proud contempt of God Most High, bound in iron and in woe, shades of death and darkness nigh, humbled low, and with toil and pain fell, and looked for help in vain. 293, 1, 2, and 3. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.